want us to talk tonight, think about praising the Lord. Anybody here feel like you're fairly good at that? That you are pretty good at praising the Lord? And I don't ask that facetiously. I mean, is that one of the first things you think of is praising the Lord? And for some people, it is. I mean, it should be. That's why we want to talk about it, is that it should be one of our first and constant continuing impulses is to praise the Lord. So turn to Psalm 147, and we're going to notice that, and then Psalm 30, verse 4. But I want to read these words to you because I think you'll just be blessed by them. Praise, this is ESV, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. In some of your translations, it may say, praise is comely, C-O-M-E-L-Y, which means fitting, appropriate. The Lord, verse 2, builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. These are some more things we can praise him for. He determines the number of the stars. Think of that. If you ever go out on a starlit night and look up there, just in this galaxy, you just see portions of them, and there are millions of them. He determines the number of stars. He gives to all of them their names. That just amazes me. Again, referencing growing up on the farm, we were not cattle ranchers, we were farmers, but we did have about 60, 70 head of cattle on our farm that we fed. And on a farm, the difference between a farm and a ranch is, you know, is ranching is you make most of your living from your livestock. On a farm, your major portion of your income is from the grain that you produce, the grain, the wheat, the corn, that type of stuff. But we still had about 60 cows, 70. And I remember we children gave names to every one of those. We knew every cow by name. And when it had a calf, we named the calves. And it was amazing how when the farm truck would come to haul them off, we would stand there and bawl when we were small. You know, we would bawl, oh, there goes Brownie. Why are you selling Brownie, Dad? And we would get so upset with her. You know, oh, and Maud. What did Maud ever do? She's a good cow. Can't we keep her one more year? And we just would go through some of the, and my dad would get so put out with us. Get out of here. Go back to the house. But we knew those cows by name. That's because the farm wasn't large, and so we were acquainted with the cows. We milked cows, but these were cows that whenever you went up to get the other cows, you knew the names of the other ones, and you knew the ones that were naughty, that were mean, that would chase you. And God, I mean, we knew 60, 70, 80 head of cattle by name. God knows the stars by name. Think of that. And he knows, in addition to that, your name. And in addition to that, he knows the number of hairs on your head. That's the intimate knowledge of God. All right? Well, let's go on or we'll never get to the lesson. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Verse 6. Verse 5. Great is our Lord, abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. And it's good they throw that in there, the Holy Spirit puts that in there right after about determining the stars by name, because he just wants us to know that you can't comprehend it, all right? Verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, make melody to our God on the lyre. That's instrument similar to a guitar. He covers the heavens with clouds, he prepares rain for the earth, he makes grass grow on the hills, he gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of a horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and those who hope in his steadfast love. Then we'll continue quit our reading there at verse 12. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. Now, as I said, we want to study the theme tonight about praising God, because it's amazing what praising can do. Look in, while we're there, look in chapter 30, division 30 of Psalm, and just one verse there, and you're going to see, it says here, sing praises to the Lord, which we just did, O you His saints. Pope, whoever he is, the other day, Francis, or I don't know, he beatified a couple guys and made saints out of them. But my Bible tells me that as believers, we are already saints. It's not something we earn. It's something bestowed upon us. And it says, sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, that's you and me, and give thanks to His holy name. Now notice, back to Psalm 147 again, that psalm begins with a command, praise the Lord, exclamation point. In other words, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It doesn't say it'd be a good idea when you feel like it, but it's an exhortation that carries with it the force of a command. It says, praise the Lord. Now, and then as I stated, we in the ESV, in the King James, it says in verse 2 there that that praise is comely, or in verse 1 there, the latter part of verse 1, a song of praise is fitting or comely, which means it's attractive. It's normal. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. Now, I just want to bring your attention to something that might be kind of a startling statement to you, and that is this, that the Bible puts more emphasis on praising God than it does praying to God. Did you know that? That the Bible places more emphasis, there are more scriptures referencing praise than there are prayer. Just as, it's also surprising, God, the Lord Jesus on earth, referenced hell more than he referenced heaven. There's also more emphasis on prayer, on praise, than there is on prayer. Those are things sometimes that we might not think of. We say, are you sure about that? Yeah, I am sure about that. It's not my observation. That's scholars who have studied that and have got the numbers down. I didn't record them because it's just a point that the Bible puts more emphasis upon praise than it does upon prayer. Now, we all know the importance of prayer. That's not minimizing that. But as a matter of fact, prayer is the life and breath of Christian. But if we take prayer to mean that we are asking things from God and petitioning God, and that's literally what prayer is, then we add to that praise, and that shifts our petitioning to worship. There is a difference between coming and requesting from God to coming and praising God. They're both very fitting, and they're both a part of the integral aspect of the Christian life. But praising, when we praise God, we are moving from petition to worship. And that's a beautiful thing. The Bible, God's Word, says that praise is coming. Now, let's go right into this here and see why we should be more apt, quicker to praise God than what we do. First of all, in your notes, praise reverences God. Whenever you praise God, you are reverencing God, which means, again, it has an aspect of worship. You are giving a spirit of reverence unto the Lord when you praise Him. You see right there in verse 1, it says, for it is good to sing praises. Do you see the aspect there of reverencing the Lord? And then it says, it is pleasant to sing praises. It is fitting to sing praises. All of those words. And what that basically means is, God created everything, living and non-living, to be one great anthem of praise. I remember that poem by Joyce Kilmer we learned years and years ago, some of us in school. You know, I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. Here it is. A tree that looks to God all day and lifts its leafy arms to pray. There's something about, you know, I don't know that the tree is worshiping God, but the Bible speaks often. For example, 89:5, I think, it speaks about, let's see if that's right. Yeah, let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. Now, how do the heavens, it tells us again in Psalm 8 that day unto day they utter speech, night unto they utter language, night unto night they utter speech. In other words, there is no voice, there is no place where their language is not heard, where their voice is not heard. In other words, there's a silent witness of their creation unto the Creator. And so praise, angels praise the Lord. Humans praise the Lord. Inanimate objects praise the Lord. The animal creatures praise the Lord. In fact, look in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, and there's some strange creatures there. I don't know what they are. The Bible calls them living creatures and all kinds of things, just for lack of better description. And it says down there, around the throne, let's go back to verse 6, at the end of verse 6. Around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures. Now, this is not the most, if this wasn't in the Bible, you'd say, yee, these sound kind of like scary dudes. Four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. In other words, they got eyes looking everywhere, kind of like our mothers. Eyes in front of their heads and eyes behind our head. Four living creatures. The first living creature like a lion. The second living creature like an ox. The third living creature with the face of a man. The fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are some type of a cherubim, these must be. Are full of eyes all around and within. And here's the thing now about this praising. And day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Wow. Angels and these, I don't know if these are actually angels or not. It just calls them, it doesn't describe them as angels. Does anybody have a translation that describes them as angels? It just calls them four living creatures. They're individuals set apart, it seems, from angelic beings, because it doesn't mention them as angels. But it says one of their main portions of heaven, in heaven, is to praise the Lord. You know, from our limited knowledge, with these minds that have been affected, infected, and infested with sin, these minds do not have the capability to praise God on a continuous basis. We just are not able. We don't have the capacity to do it. We don't have the vocabulary to do it. And we don't have the inclination to do it. Because even though as God's individuals here on earth, regenerate by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we are not at the place of where we will be able to praise God permanently and perfectly. Now, by that, I do not mean we just sit around in heaven and say, praise the Lord, 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 praise the Lord. I don't think that at all. But I believe that there will be within us a capacity to continually and constantly enjoy the presence of God in positive affirmation that will result in spoken words. It will result in singing that we probably never knew we were capable of. I try to think about it sometimes. I try to think about what will it be like? You know, the hymn writer said, when this poor, lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Well, when this lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, there's going to be an immortal spirit that is not lisping, nor stammering, nor stuttering, nor stunted. It's going to be singing the praises of God. And it's going to be speaking the praises of God. So every time you praise God, you are reverencing God. You see, praising God is exactly the opposite of cursing. When a man curses, he profanes and degrades as best he can. Let's put it that way. When a man curses, he's doing his utmost to profane and degrade the name of God. That's what cursing is. When we're cursing, we're asking God to damn somebody or something. That's what cursing is. We are beseeching God to bring down a curse or an adverse reaction on someone or something. That's what cursing is. That's exactly the opposite of praising. When we are cursing, we are degrading and profaning the name of God. When we are praising, we are exalting and honoring the name or person of God and blessing His name and thanking Him for something or someone rather than asking God to damn something or someone. Does that make sense to you? They're diametrically opposed to one another. That's why out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. That's why the Bible says that we should give very much diligence to our speech, and particularly to this business of cursing, because it shows you will praise God in direct proportion to your respect for Him. And if you curse, it shows the same degree of lack of respect and lack of self-control, lack of spirit control over self. So, praise reverences God. Number two, the second thing that praise does, and I thought of another one after I put this in here, so you can write this in. First of all, praise refreshes the saints, it releases our faith, and it reflects our thankfulness. That's what praise does. It refreshes the saints, releases our faith, and it reflects our thankfulness. Every time you praise God, those three things are taking place in your life. You know, there's nothing that refreshes you when you are weary and tired in your body, and if you've worked and you're sweaty and you're just exhausted. There's nothing so refreshing for people as a shower, and some people prefer a bath. There's nothing that refreshes us physically like water. It just, when I step out of the shower in the morning, I always say, thank you, Jesus, for a nice warm home to take a shower in. And thank you, Jesus, for when I'm showering, I say, Lord, wash me inwardly by the power of your Holy Spirit, just as this water washes over me. Let the Holy Spirit flow through me, cleansing me, even as this water and soap does outwardly. There's something about praising that refreshes us, it releases our faith, and it reflects our thankfulness. I didn't put that third one in there because I never, as I was going through it the third time, I thought, oh, yeah, there's another one here. I like what it says, Lord, I give you praise. And we have so many things to praise the Lord for. Every day there ought to be numerous things that come to our mind that we praise the Lord for. We get tired of our jobs, and sometimes we say, I'm tired of that job, I'm sick of that job. But we ought to thank God that we got the health to do it. That we're able to do it. I don't know if it was in a counseling session or somebody I was speaking of. Who in the world was that? Just this day or yesterday, and we were talking about thanking God. Oh, I know who it was. It was Sue Milligan down at Smith's. And I ran into her, and we had a great visit down there. And Sue was, I asked her about her daughter up in Alaska, and we got to talking, and she said, "Are you still over there at that church?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And I said, "Are you still up there at that other church plant?" "I am." She said, "I just thank the Lord all the time that I have the ability and that I have the health to keep playing for Him." And I said, "You know what, Sue? Almost every single time that I share the Word of God, whether it's at night or in a Bible study or a sermon of some type, every time on my way home, I praise the Lord and say, 'Father, thank you that you gave me one more opportunity to share the living Word of God with the saints of God.'" I want, you know, we are all, I put it down here and skipped over to begin with, but we are also pain conscious, problem conscious, predicament conscious, protest conscious. We need to be more praise conscious. We can think of so many things that are a pain to us physically and a pain to us in our minds. Have you ever used the phrase, "He or she is such a pain"? Probably you never have. But some of us think that once in a while. They're such a pain. We're so pain conscious. Or if we have something that afflicts us, and I'm not saying to be conscious of your pain is wrong. The reason God gave us sensors to pain is so that we wouldn't further injure ourselves, or if we're sick and not feeling well, that's an indication something's wrong. But we can be sometimes more preoccupied with pain or problems or predicaments than we can with praising. So praise will refresh you. It will release your faith. Look in verse 2 and 3 and you'll see how it releases your faith in an amazing fashion there. It says in verses 2 and 3, "The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel." You see, as he's thinking now about this praise, it's good and it's pleasant and it's fitting and it's comely. And then it starts to lift his faith. Here's how it lifts his faith. He starts to think it's the Lord that builds up Jerusalem. It's the Lord that gathers the outcasts of Israel. It's the Lord that heals the brokenhearted. It's the Lord that binds up their wounds. It's the Lord that determines the number of stars. It's the Lord that gives them all of their names. And then he ends up with what he's been saying all along. "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond our measure." Do you see how his faith has been released through his praising the Lord, and it's been a refreshment to him. And then he goes on there to, it will reflect your thankfulness. Do you know what distinguishes you and me from the animals of the world? The animals don't have a spirit. You never see an antelope. You never see or hear an antelope saying, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." You just don't see that. Any beast, beasts of the field, don't have a spirit to praise the Lord. A spirit is our spirit, the spirit that God gave us. We're body, soul, and spirit. That's that eternal part that's going to live forever. And that spirit is the organ of spiritual knowledge and spiritual praise. The reason, I think, and you might have some just equally valid reasons, the reason we are not more praise-oriented is because we are so self-centered. We're self-oriented. I could elaborate on that. But the thing about, we become problem-oriented and predicament-oriented. But here's the thing about praise. You cannot praise and pout at the same time. You cannot praise and pout at the same time. It's just impossible. When you're praising God, you can't pout, because it's just like, I don't know how to phrase it. You can't walk on the ground and fly at the same time. They're just not either one possible. You have to do one or the other. So God gives us one of the things I like. Look in just turn Psalm Proverbs Isaiah 61. Just go over two more books to Isaiah 61, and in verse 3, you're going to see something very special. It says there. Well, let's start at verse 1 there. It's all good. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and here it is, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Praise is a vitamin to your soul. You know, I'm out of vitamins right now. Got to go get some. I need to take them. When you're old, you got to have all the help you can get. And I take this multivitamin for men over 50. I'm looking every time I go to see if they got one for men over 70 there. There must be one, but they don't. So I just take that one. Multivitamin. Supposed to really be the thing that meets up for all of the deficiencies. I'm not so sure that. I think I pay sometimes for stuff that doesn't happen. But praise will meet the deficiencies of a faint spirit. It's the vitamin of the soul. When you learn to praise God, it's like taking a spiritual vitamin. Anybody know what those dots are on those boxes, those dots? I like those. Some are going fishing with me tomorrow. And they shall not return in the form they went. Those are just cute little gummy things, get in your teeth and pull out your fillings. And they do all kinds of things that give Dennis big smiles. Big smiles for Dennis. Praise is like a spiritual dot. They've even got vitamins now, by the way, that are like gummies. Did you know that? Was it you was telling Dory or somebody about gummy vitamins now? You just eat them and they're like a little gummy bear. Don't have to swallow them, and they just taste so good. He heals the brokenhearted. And here's the thing. Praise is like a garment you put on. You know, this spring, and then it's winter, and spring and winter, and you don't know what coat to wear. But most of the time yet, in the early morning, it's not just shirt without a coat. You put a coat on. And it warms you. It keeps it supplies what that without a coat cannot do. It just gives you a vitality and warmth. Praise is like that. Great is the Lord. He telleth the stars by name. My goodness, I still can't get over that thing right there. He determines the number of the stars. Have you ever looked up into the starry night and have seen a star fall out of the heavens? I think the Lord knows that. I think He says, well, I don't know how He sets in motion certain things that just lets nature take its course, you know. He's in control. He's sovereign. But there's certain things. How does the Lord, or when is it determined that if a star gets out of its orbit just a little bit, or is it age as it falls? I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works. But all I know is that He determines the number of stars. He's as mindful of a star falling from the heavens and burning up as He is a sparrow crawling up next to my garbage can and dying. He knows all about that. He knows all about that. If you want faith and to have your faith to get your prayers answered, begin to praise God. I made this statement. I don't know if I put it in your notes tonight. I got here. Don't even have time to look there. I must have put it in there somewhere, I think. Faith, here it is. Faith is the byproduct of praise. Sometimes we think faith, the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. I also think that faith in some respects is even secondary to praise. Because the more you praise God, and because praising Him not only for His person, but for His attributes and for His power, that will increase your faith. It's just like a high tide lifts all ships. Praise will lift your faith as you recount the things that God has done, the prayers that He has answered, so forth, etc. And we could go on that. It will do that. And then, as I said, it releases our faith and it reflects our thankfulness. Verse 7. Notice verse 7 there of that. Reflecting our thankfulness. Sing to the Lord what? With thanksgiving. You see where thankfulness comes from? Make melody to God on the lyre. I don't know what the rest of us are supposed to do. Pastor Kevin and Andrew got the monopoly on that, and Dave. The rest of us, you know what I do? I listen to songs that I've recorded. My wife was laughing at me tonight because I had my little iPod. I hadn't updated that thing since 2000. I've had that thing for 2000. A while back, she said, "Do we have an iPod?" I said, "I don't think so." She said, "What's this thing?" I said, "It's an iPod. It has 442 songs on it. What old Larry likes, Southern Gospel." And I was listening to the Florida Boys. And I just singing with those things in my ear. It's amazing how much better they sing when I'm with them. They just do it. They sound so much better when I help them out. It's a quintet instead of a quartet. But that lady thinks it's funny because she can't hear the other four parts that I am so blending in with so well. And she speaks the truth. But it's just, there's something about just sitting back and listening and singing along with songs of praise to the Lord. Oh, my goodness, I can't even get off on that. I just, it's one of my greatest joys. It's one of my greatest joys. When I go fishing, I just drive my pickup up near where I'm fishing. And then I put my poles out there. And then I go back to my vehicle and I roll the window down and I turn on Sirius Radio to the inspirational channel. What is it? Enlighten. And I listen. And if a fish bites, I say, "Oh, there's one biting. Hope he stays on there till this song's done." It's just something about a praising the Lord. Every one of us. I'm just asking God, "Oh Lord, fill my heart with praise, praise, praise." And then lastly, I'll tell you what praise does. I'll tell you what praise does. It resists our enemy. It resists our enemy. We all know that we have an adversary. And sometimes we even have human adversaries that come to us that are after us. We have adversaries in the church. We have adversaries in America. And they all are taking their orders from the king of the adversaries. But notice verse 10. This is kind of a funny verse. I don't know that I would laugh, but I get a kick out of this verse. It says, "He delighteth, his delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man." Well, I would hope not. Most of us men have legs that look like two pieces of rope with a knot tied in them. That's what most of... I guess I should just speak for myself. Maybe you guys think you have great-looking legs. I don't know. But mine just look like two pieces of rope with a knot tied in the middle of them there. I knew this guy who worked out with his upper body all the time. He always worked out with his upper body. He was always doing curls and whirls and whatever you do. He had muscles just... But he never did anything with his lower body. So consequently, he just was built like this up there. But he had little skinny legs, just little skinny legs, because he never did anything. One day at the beach, a guy was commenting him on his upper body build. He said, "Man, look at you. You are really in shape. Look at you, look at you." Then he looked down and he said, "Are those your real legs, or did you ride in here on a chicken?" The other fellow didn't see a lot of humor in that. But it's one of those things where this aspect, when it says there, when it talks about the strength of the horse, it's talking about a war horse. You know how they would put armor over the war horse and put shields of mail on them and armor? And then when it talks about the legs of a man there, it's talking about a man's strength to run and fight. So what it says there, his delight is not in the strength of the horse, of the war horse. God's not too impressed by a big old Belgian war horse all dressed up in fighting armor, and the soldier sitting up there on him that has probably 200-300 pounds of armor on in addition to his own thing. Nor in the pleasure of the legs of a man. In other words, how powerful with all of his prowess that he has as he sits up there. God's not impressed with manly strength or manly efforts, in other words. But notice verse 11 now. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. God's not impressed with the same thing. I was watching a while back on television, The World's Strongest Men. Have any of you ever seen that on television, The World's Strongest Men? I mean, my goodness. These guys were lifting weights that was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Picking them up, and of course it's all the same. They're balanced out, and then they're carrying small cars and big rocks, picking up huge rocks and putting them up on top of a thing, and then picking up one that was heavier and putting it up there like this. And there's a whole series of these things that they're the world's strongest men, and they certainly are. I mean, the average man could no more begin to do that if his life depended on it. But God is not impressed with physical strength. God is not impressed with mental acumen either. Sometimes people can be so proud of their mental capacities and take delight in that. And it's all child's play to God. There's no strength that a man has physically or mentally that God is impressed with. And so it says there, what does he take his delight in? His delight is in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Now, let's just close with this thought here. Praise resists our enemy. If you want to read something that's really exciting, go home and read 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, and read where King Jehoshaphat began to praise the Lord when the armies of the Moabites and the Ammonites and Mount Seir came up against Judah and Jehoshaphat. They had an unusual cure, did Jehoshaphat. They prayed and praised and sent forth the singers to praise the Lord. And the Lord set an ambushment against the enemies of God. You know what praise does? It destroys the plan of the enemy to destroy you, to dilute you, or to distract you. Praise will destroy the enemy's plans for you. Why is this? Why are our enemies... I want to tell you now, here, get this part here because this is very significant. Why are our enemies repelled when we praise? Here, answer. Because God is so very near when we praise. Do you know what the Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 13? No, Psalm 22, verse 3. It says, God inhabits the praises of Israel. Now, we take that sometimes and say God inhabits the praises of his people, and I don't think that's a resting of the scripture, but technically it says God inhabits the praises of Israel. But I think I put this in your notes. Praise is God's address. Do you want to know where God lives? You say, well, heaven. More so than that. God lives and dwells in the praise of his people. Now, I know that God is omnipresent. I know that. But God is dynamically present when God's people praise him. That's why Satan is allergic to praise. Wherever there's a massive praise, wherever there is triumphant praise, Satan is paralyzed. He's bound. He's vanquished. He cannot live in an attitude of praise. That's why I desire that Rock Springs E-Free forever be a church where we praise God. I tell you, friends, one of the greatest blessings that we have as a church and as a means of worshiping God in a wonderful, powerful way is to have the great worship team that we have, where we sing and songs of praise are played and sung, and we are led in praise singing praises to God. That's a very biblical thing. Sing praises to God. And I tell you, when we sing songs of praise and lift our hands to the Lord Jesus in our worship services, I'm telling you, the devil does not want to be in a church where people are praising God in word and in song and in testimony. He doesn't want to be there. And his spirit will leave when we praise God. I'm so grateful for our worship team, Pastor Kevin, for you and Heather, and for all of you that play and practice in that. The time that I mentioned Sunday night that you put into that. That's not just performing. That is worshiping. That is praising. And that's helping others to praise God. Even as a pastor stands up in front and supposedly, hopefully, helps people to understand the Word of God so that they can worship Him better. Praise in singing and in instruments is helping people to worship God better and thus to know that someday we'll all be able to do that in an attitude and in an atmosphere that can't even enter our minds here. The devil cannot operate and he cannot function in an attitude and place of praise. Dr. R.G. Lee was a great old Southern Baptist preacher. And he wrote a lot of books, and because he was renowned, holding services for young pastors all the time, he was a great mentor of young pastors. They were always asking him to sign their Bibles. He signed every Bible the same way. He didn't say, Dear John, or Hi John, and then come up with a line, what would be a good verse for John? Oh, and then, Hi Toby, what would be a good verse for Toby? He signed every verse, every Bible, with the same one. It was Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually upon my lips. Isn't that a wonderful testimony that you would want people to remember you by? Not a crabber, not a complainer, not a whiner, not a this or that. But if you say, you know, that person had the ability to see and to sing praises to God by seizing the moment, even in the most difficult of circumstances, they could praise the Lord, not as a means of hypocrisy, not as a means of minimizing their problem, but as a means of exalting God in his sufficiency in the midst of the problem. And that's what I want to do. So that's what the Lord's been talking to me about. Praising Him. You know, praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the evening, noontide. Praise Him when the sun goes down. And ask, my closing thought is just ask the Lord to help you to be more of a vehicle of praise. Ask Him to enlighten your mind and to touch your mind and to show you new things to praise Him for. And also, this thought comes to me. Praise God not only for the things that you have received. Praise Him for the things that you have not received that you so justly deserved. That's when you get into the realm of mercy, which is, of course, a whole other subject. But sometimes we say, well, I praise God for this, and I praise God for that, and I praise God for this, and I praise God for that. And today, as I was preparing this, I thought, and thank you, Jesus, not only can I praise you for who you are and what you are and what you have done, but I praise you for what you have not done that I have been so deserving of. And that opens a whole new avenue of thankfulness unto the Lord. Any thoughts that you have to share with us just before we pray? Any thoughts about praise, what you're learning in your own life, or how you praise the Lord? Are there any unique ways that you praise the Lord, or any unique times that you praise the Lord? Or when you think about praise, what comes to your mind?